Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning. My name is David Bale, and I'm one of the elders of the church. And as Joshua is away on study leave this month, there are various of us who are going to be taking the services in the meantime. So very good, warm welcome to everybody who's here, everybody who's watching live online, and those who are watching on the catch-up service. And a very special welcome to the families. It's really nice to see you all here. So really good to have you. It's great to be here. And I think Heather's taken you up to the centre during the course of the service. So we'll have a children's song at some stage early on in the service, and then I'll let you know when it's time to go. Okay? Right. Now, as has become our custom, we're going to start with the blether, so we'll find out what's going on in the churches in our grouping. So can we have the blether start, please?
Hello, and thank you for joining us once again, wherever you're joining us from, whether it's face-to-face in churches or whether it's online. It's great that you can participate with us in our joint service, and we hope that you will enjoy this time together. We're going to, as we normally do, go around the churches, and you can see we're a wee bit reduced in numbers, so it might be a bit shorter than normal. So we'll start off with Sheila. What's happening across at Echt and Midmarsh, Sheila?
We're doing well, thank you, and good morning to everybody who's joining us today. One thing really to mention today is, and it's really just to draw people's attention to the fact that our plan is to reopen Midmar Church again, and we're going to be worshipping at Midmar going forwards on the first Sunday of every month. So we're looking forward very much to being back in the building there, and hopefully that's going to be easy for people to remember. We've been at Echt during the COVID just because the building's a bit more flexible and we've been able to space out a little bit. But with the reduction in all the rules and regulations and the lifting of some of the restrictions, it makes it possible, I think, to be back at Midmar. So from the first Sunday in November, we'll be at Midmar, and the service on the first Sunday in November will be a service of Holy Communion.
Oh, lovely. That sounds great, doesn't it? And I'm sure that's good news for the Midmar folk that the church is reopening. Stella, what's happening across at Blairdaff Chapel of Geary?
Well, good morning to all. Not a huge amount of news. We're looking forward to you and being in the church in Blairdaff on the Sunday. And just so you know, when I delivered the Cyrenian collection from Harvest Thanksgiving, I've subsequently had a follow-up asking why we particularly donated to them. And on investigation, it looks like we've been donating to the Cyrenians for over 40 years from all our Harvest Thanksgiving. So they were quite taken aback with that, as I was when I realised that the connection has been there ever since a lady from there, Mrs. Warrenham, had come to visit and had obviously impressed us all with their soup kitchen, which is how they started. And of course, that's a staple of the Northeast. But that's all our news from the North End.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm sure they were delighted to receive the stuff that you handed in. And Neil, what's happening at Kintore?
Thank you, Ewan. Hello, everybody. Kintore, we're well into our season of stewardship. So in addition to the Church of Scotland's National Giving Day, which we are stretching out over 4 weeks, we're having our Harvest Festival next Sunday. So everyone's having it at different times. So this Sunday, we'll just be talking about stewardship, but next Sunday, we'll be celebrating the harvest. And in the afternoon, our Messy Church will also be celebrating the harvest with a special with special attention being given to our contributions we make to the food bank. So watch out for that next Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you. Across at Clooney and Money Musk, we've actually started on Wednesday past a weekly midweek online service now. We're doing a 10-minute slot where I'm going to be looking through the Book of Romans. It's just a 10-minute slot where I read a passage from the scripture. We have a reflection, not always about the passage, and say a little prayer. So that's now on our YouTube channel and our Facebook pages if anybody wants to follow on. And we had a lovely Harvest Thanksgiving service with the Sunday school and quite a lot of people in the church on Sunday past. In fact, Clooney, because we still have 1 meter distance, we hadn't enough seats for everyone who came, which was delightful. So the children made a great amount of noise and it was great fun having them. But that's all that's happening just now across with us. We're worshipping just now in the month of October in Clooney. So that's the intimation. You'll notice that Josh is not with us. Josh is having a month's break to finish some academic studies. And we wish him well, and we wish the folk at Kendi. We'll maybe try and get some news from them for next week's weather. But enjoy our worship today, as together, wherever we are, that we can worship God in spirit and hopefully in truth and celebrate the coming of the kingdom in God's own time. So let us worship God together now.
Yes, as you heard, Joshua is on study leave and he's hoping to finish his PhD. So this will be a wonderful time for him if he gets that completed on time and can hand it in. So please do pray for Joshua that he can get this completed to his satisfaction and away. Just before I call us to worship, there's a couple of intimations that I want to pass on. The first one is that the Monday evening Bible study is recommencing tomorrow evening at 7:30, and it will be online and it will be via Teams. It's led by Will Buchan, who's sitting over there, and myself, and all who come along are there to learn from one another. Some people might think that if to go to a Bible study, you need to know a lot about the Bible. That's not actually the case. You need to want to learn a lot about the Bible, and you can learn from each other. And by looking at the passage and actually working out together, what does it mean and what does it say to us today? And people come who've got lots of experience of Bible studies, a lot of knowledge, other people who've got very little, but we all get something from it and we all get something from each other. And we'll be continuing in Mark's Gospel, although tomorrow will be more of a social gathering just to catch up with each other because we haven't met for some time. But we will continue in Mark's Gospel, but each of the passages that we look at in a fairly self-contained way. So if you've missed some of the previous chapters, it doesn't really matter. You will still get something out of the passage. So if you'd like to join us, you'd be extremely welcome. We would love to have some more members come along. And if you contact either Will or myself, our contact details are actually on the back of the Kirk News. And then I've been asked by the Good Morning Group to announce that on Tuesday, the 19th of October, Richard Murray, who I think is an elder at St. Anne's in Kemney, the Episcopal Church, is talking to the Good Morning Group and about climate change and the Christian response to climate change. And everybody is invited, although there will have to be some control on numbers. He would be talking about climate change and what steps we can take as individuals and as a church to do our bit to avert the climate change disaster that could await. So if you would like to be involved with that, I think it's... Now, I'm not sure who to... who you're going to have to talk to, because Noel is coming back for a couple of weeks, so she will be here. Probably Noel Lord that you need to contact. Nope.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I've got mixed messages there. Anyway, we'll have more information about who to speak to next week. Okay? Right, so that's the intimations. For our call to worship, I'm going to read from Psalm 8. And this was a psalm that was used by Ewan Glenn in the joint service last week. And when he read it, I thought it was really appropriate for today's service. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. you have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we praise you for your wonderful creation. We praise you for all that you have given us and the bounties of the earth. We thank you for our harvests. We thank you for an abundance of food. We thank you for the variety of food too. And we thank you that we can always trust in you, always give thanks to you. And Lord, we pray for forgiveness for when we have failed you and when we have abused your climate, we abused your creation, when we've taken things for granted and just been greedy. Lord, help us to come to you and find your forgiveness, and help us to truly worship you. Lord, we thank you that you're here amongst us now. We pray that you'll help us to focus on you and help us to worship you out of a joyful heart. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful prayer that Jesus taught us as we say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Today we're looking at climate change and creation and the Christian response to that. And we're doing it in the context of also giving thanks for harvest. And our first hymn this morning is "For the Fruits of His Creation, Thanks Be to God."
Thank you.
I said it's really very good to see the children here. I'm just going to ask you a very few questions. You're going to go up to the centre shortly. But who here likes animals? Does anyone like animals? Can you tell me what sort of animals you like?
Okay. I actually love tigers.
Tigers. Would you like to have a pet tiger?
No.
No. Very wise. But they are fantastic wild animals, aren't they? Now, yes. Oliver. Sorry?
Leopards.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, we're on their top predators here. So, yep. Turtles. I love turtles. Anything up there? Oh, nothing specific. Okay, I love animals as well. Actually, a lot of my work in life was working with wildlife and habitats and looking after them. And when you look at the world around us, do you think it looks beautiful? Do you like looking at the hills? Do you like being in hills, going in the countryside? Do you like feeling the sunshine? Do you like sunshine? It's a beautiful morning today, isn't it? Do you like snow? Do you like snow? Yeah, I love snow. I think snow is wonderful, isn't it? Now, all these things are something that God has given us, don't we? As Christians, we believe that God created everything. We don't know how he did it, but we just believe that he did it. And it's an amazing thing that we do. And what we're going to be talking about in church today is about God's creation, how he's given us so much to look after and to enjoy, and also how we can, as Christians, look after it and pray for a world that we'll look after it well, so that the tigers, the leopards, the turtles, and everything else around us can actually continue to be there for ever. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to sing a song about creation, and it's Who Put the Colours in the Rainbow? And then after that, you'll be led up to the church centre. And I hope you have a good time up there. Okay?
Now, listen, we don't think there are any specific actions for this song. I'm sure you can kind of make them up as we go along.
I was tempted to ask Judith to come and make some up.
She refused.
I think Judith did very well last week, didn't she?
Perfect.
Okay, our readings this morning, we've got two readings, one from Genesis and one from Colossians. And the first reading from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and then verses 26 to 31. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 26. After that, God talks about everything that he makes, all the stars, everything, and all creatures. And then verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all that he had made, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And then Colossians chapter 1. Very heavy pages in this Bible. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. And this is talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We thank God for these readings. Let us pray. Lord, as we consider these passages and what they mean for us, and what they mean for us in this world, which is needing your intervention so much, we pray that you'll give us insight, that your Spirit will fill us, and that you'll help us to listen to you. We pray these things for your name's sake, and in Jesus' name, amen. The songs we've sung are about God's creation, and we believe that God created everything, and we believe it was very good. And we rejoice in creation. Just when you get up this morning and you look at the sunshine and you feel the cool of the air, and you think, what a beautiful autumnal morning it is. There's so much that we thank God for. And indeed, throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God declares himself to be the creator of the universe. The passages in the Old and the New Testament, and there are many of these, are linked through the opening lines of the Gospel of John. The first verse of Genesis tells us that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. As a parallel, the first verse of John's Gospel says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The connection between Genesis and John's Gospel is then made explicit and then expanded in verse 3, which tells us that Jesus, who is the Word, is the one through whom all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So as Christians, we cannot look at the world and the universe without giving glory to our Lord, the Creator. When we rejoice in the beauty of the earth, our harvests, our relationships, we rejoice in the marvels of life, we rejoice in devotion and worship to God. That should be our natural response. But as we look at the world today, we can be dismayed as we observe the many ways that humans have damaged creation. Whether it's plastic pollution littering land and seas, whether it's chemical pollution or species going extinct at record rates, or the climate crisis making droughts, catastrophic fires, floods and storms more frequent and severe, we've misused and damaged this beautiful gift from God. As we give thanks for our harvests, we must remember that they depend on good soil and the right amount of rain and warmth. Changing weather patterns resulting from climate change have made harvests less reliable across the world, and in some places they fail entirely. We're feeling some of the effects in the UK, but the impacts are hitting people in poverty the hardest. So we're going to be looking at climate change and the climate conference which is due to take place. But what is climate change? So climate change refers to changes in the planet's average temperature and the resulting shifts in weather patterns. Carbon dioxide is produced whenever we burn coal, gas, or oil. It is also produced from deforestation, land use change, and agriculture. And it, together with methane, which is produced by farmed livestock, from various industrial processes, and from landfill sites, is wrapping an extra blanket around the earth. This blanket is trapping heat, and inside the climate system that would otherwise escape. So the climate is warming up. That's why we're warming. Since the Industrial Revolution, we've pumped more and more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, as well as the other heat-trapping gases. As a result, we've seen temperatures climb rapidly, and floods, droughts, wildfires, and storms all become more frequent and severe. And we've all seen news reports of these things happening around the world, and they are quite alarming. 2020 was the joint hottest year on record, and it followed the hottest decade ever recorded between 2010 and 2019. And the impacts of this are severe. We've all been supporting Tear Fund and Christian Aid over the years and other agencies, and they've been really making a difference to world hunger. But in 2016, world hunger increased for the first time in more than a decade, and it's continued to increase every year since because of climate change and conflict, with climate change exacerbating the risk of conflict. Our reliance on fossil fuels is pushing our global neighbours deeper into poverty. The poorest 3.5 billion people are responsible for just 10% of emissions, but these same people are already facing the worst impacts of climate change. So this is now a climate emergency, and it's undermining the progress made through aid programmes run by the UN and the charities I've already mentioned, and many more, of course. The science is clear. The climate crisis is being caused by us, especially us in developed nations, and the impacts are actually accelerating. We are running out of time to prevent the worst effects. We have to act fast and change the way we live, and governments have to be much more ambitious. But right now we have a unique window of opportunity. This year, the UK is hosting the United Nations climate talks in Glasgow in November, and these are known as COP26. And if you look in this month's Kirk News, there's actually quite a bit of detail about COP26 and what it stands for. So I won't go into all that detail here. So if you look in the Kirk News, you'll see that information. The talks start on the 1st of November, and they bring together nearly all the world's leaders together to agree commitments and, even more importantly, actions to prevent warming from rising above 1.5 degrees centigrade. The decade out to 2030 will be crucial. How the government chooses to rebuild after the coronavirus pandemic will not only shape our own economy, but also influence other nations as we host these talks. This is a crucial moment for our leaders to take climate change seriously. So that's talking about climate change sort of out there. But how do we respond to climate change as Christians? Now, something that Joshua said in his last sermon was a quotation from his favourite theologian, Karl Barth, was that we should, as Christians, read the newspaper with one hand and the Bible in the other hand, because that helps us to look at the news and actually respond to it as Christians in the light of God's revelation to us. So that's what we're going to do this morning, is look at these passages and actually see what they teach us about how we respond as Christians to the climate change. Well, that very first passage in the Bible that we read from Genesis establishes God's fundamental relationship with everything that makes up the universe, whether it's the stars, galaxies, the planets, and all life on Earth. Some take the words literally, others figuratively, and whichever way you read them, they are not a scientific account. They weren't intended to be. But they are a theological account, and they do describe our Lord's intimate and fundamental relationship with the universe through his creation. When he made the universe and all in it, verse 31 tells us that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Creation delighted him. He created the universe and all within it to participate in the divine love shared between the three persons of the Trinity. The passage then has something fundamental to say about humans. In verse 26 to 27, he said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them rule over." And in verse 28, he said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." These verses tell us that humans are created, just as everything else was created, and that we're part of the whole of God's creation. But they also tell us that we are different from the rest of creation in two essential ways. Now, the first is that we were made in the image and likeness of God. The image and likeness of God, the loving creator and sustainer of all things. That sounds and is very positive. But then secondly, we see that humans were created with a special role, to rule over creation. They are also commanded to fill the earth and subdue it. Now, compared to being created in the image of God, these commands sound somewhat problematic. And some say that telling humans they are to rule over and subdue creation is actually the root of the world's environmental problems, because it seems to give us license to exploit it for our own ends. Regretfully, even some Christians believe that this passage gives us explicit permission to do whatever we like with the world's resources, irrespective of the impact. The world is there for our taking. And some Christians even believe that because the world is going to be renewed and recreated, it doesn't really matter what happens to this world. Now, Does that sound right to you? So let us pause to consider what these two commands mean a bit more closely. When we think of the term rule used in Genesis, it is easy to think negatively of the actions of some rulers, because there are many bad, corrupt, and power-mad rulers in the world. However, when we stop and think further, there are of course many other rulers who uphold justice and integrity and conscientiously endeavour to serve their communities. So what sort of rulers do you think humans are supposed to be? Not corrupt. We're supposed to be positive. The passage tells us, and tells us that we are to rule as image bearers of God. Image bearers of the God who created all things out of his divine love and said it was very good. That is the fundamental basis of our rule as image bearers of God. So when God saw all that he made was very good, he created mankind, both male and female, to take care of it as his image bearers, sharing in his love for creation and joining in the love shared between the Trinity. Well, okay, that sounds good, but what about the command to subdue? Surely that is negative. Isn't this even more controversial? Well, if you look at the term subdue in the dictionary, there are actually two meanings. There's the negative one, or negative sounding one, conquer, subjugate, overcome, vanquish, master, tame. That doesn't sound good, does it? But there is actually a more positive definition. Soften, make gentle, tone down, mitigate. Which definition do you think applies best to God's image bearers? The first or the second? The second. Thank you. I was really glad. So, yes, the second definition. The commands of God to his image bearers are summed up very neatly in the words of the theologian and former bishop Tom Wright in his book, The Day the Revolution Began. He writes, God gave humans a vocation. We were created and fitted to do a job, not as selfish dictators, but as reflectors of God's love. We are to reflect the Creator's wise stewardship and love into the world and reflect the praises of all creation back to its Maker. This was the divine vocation of humankind, to rule not as despots, but as loving, wise stewards in worship to God. Unfortunately, Genesis goes on to tell how Adam and Eve defied God and gave up their vocation to other powers. And as Tom Wright continues in his book, he says, having been created to have responsibility just have a drink of water. I'm getting a little bit dry. Talk amongst yourselves. Yes, Tom Wright continues, having been created to have responsibility and authority within and over creation, humans have turned their vocation upside down, giving their worship and allegiance to non-divine and non-human forces and powers within creation itself. The name for this is idolatry, commonly expressed in the worship of money, power, vanity, cruelty, and greed. And the result is slavery and finally death. These forces have run rampant, spoiling human lives, ravaging the beautiful creation, and doing their best to turn God's world into a hell. I think that's a very neat way of summing up just what has happened. And as we look around the world and we see what we've done to it, you can see that they are true. The mess we see in the world today is the culmination of this behaviour. The extreme storms, heat waves, droughts, rising sea levels, wildfires, deforestation, loss of soil, loss of species and habitats at an unbelievable rate, deepening poverty, harvest failures, conflicts and population displacement are all consequences of this madness. It could make us despair. So what hope is there? So let's continue to look at the Bible, because if that was the message, I don't think I'd be standing here, to be honest. If I stopped there, that would just be rather depressing and we might as well all give up. But we actually do have a hope. So if I just go back to the reading from Colossians chapter 1. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So Jesus is the creator and sustainer of all. He continues to love this world. He continues to love this creation. He died to defeat the powers and authorities that are causing that destruction and to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his sacrifice on the cross. That is what Jesus has done, and he did that as the head of the church. The enmity between humankind and God and between humankind and creation has been defeated by Christ's death and resurrection. This is emphasized in the first letter of Peter, which tells us that the church across the world has been restored to be a chosen people and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we might declare the praises of him who called us out of the darkness of idolatry and into his wonderful light. That's what Jesus is saying about all of us. We are all a royal priesthood. You see the parallel between that and how Adam and Eve were created to rule over and to give glory to God in that wise stewardship of the world? That has been restored through Christ. So as a royal priesthood, we are called to a restored vocation as God's image bearers, to be loving, self-sacrificing rulers of creation and bring creation's praises back to the Creator. As a church, with Jesus as our head, we have a job to do, and one that relates to the crises for our climate and biodiversity, and also for social justice, because of the consequences that climate change and these things have for our poorest neighbours. So what does this restored vocation mean for our response to the climate crisis? What actions can we actually take to make a real difference? Well, first of all, we must recognise that our way of life has become unsustainable. And we have to say that to ourselves, our way of life is not sustainable. The way our society uses the Earth's resources, the way things are made, the way we heat our homes, we travel around, even what we eat, have all been chipping away at this glorious planet our Creator has made. And this is fueling the climate crisis and the biodiversity crisis and the impacts on the poor, with huge consequences for everybody. Secondly, following Jesus requires us to speak up against injustice, even when it's costly to ourselves. And we should act from a foundation of prayer. So let us pray for world leaders as they prepare for and attend the COP26 conference starting on the 1st of November in Glasgow. Let's pray that they will all genuinely accept the existential urgency of our climate crisis, and that they will not just make the necessary commitments, but follow them up with far-reaching actions across all parts of our economies to prevent temperatures from rising more than 1.5 degrees centigrade. We can all call on our leaders to act, and we can do this by emailing government ministers, both in the UK and the Scottish parliaments, by emailing our MP or our MSP to let them know that we want them to take the urgent climate and biodiversity action that's necessary. We can do that and make it clear to them that it's not acceptable to prevaricate any further. Thirdly, we must all change the way we live, making more sustainable choices in our own lives to demonstrate our love for our global neighbours and for God's creation. Now, there are many things that we can do, and I'll just give you a few quick tips for sustainable actions we can take this month. And I will write these up and put others in next month's Kirk News. And we've already had some information, say, in this month's Kirk News and the previous Kirk News. But one of the things we can do is reduce our consumption of goods. Production is the greatest single use of energy and finite resources. If we use less energy and goods and resources will be needed in the first place. So if you reduce, that's a really good thing. Ask yourselves, do I really need to do this? Do I really need this new thing when something else is perfectly good? We can reuse and mend items rather than binning them. And we can recycle what can't be reused or repaired. We can all compost organic matter, waste organic matter, or put it in your compostable waste bucket rather than general waste. Because if that goes into landfill, then that forms methane, which is even worse than carbon dioxide as a global heater. We can write to supermarkets, and this is something I'm trying to do. If I can get a reply, I'll be very happy, asking them to reduce the amount of plastic that they use. In fact, the only stuff that I ever throw out now is plastic wrapping off the food that I buy in the supermarket. That's just about it. We can travel less by car and plane and use a bike or walk whenever possible. Of course, there's also public transport. We should all try and insulate our homes to reduce our heating needs, and it also improves the comfort of our homes. We can look at our energy providers, although that's a little bit difficult at the moment, and check if they're using renewable resources. If not, consider swapping to a renewable energy provider. You might have to let the energy markets calm down a little bit before swapping, I don't know. Where possible, install your own renewable energy systems, such as solar panels, using government grants. Stop using peat in your gardens. Peat bogs are a fantastic store of carbon dioxide, and they can lock it up indefinitely. But putting peat on our gardens is actually usually a waste of time anyway. It doesn't achieve a great deal. And it also releases all the carbon that was stored in that peat. And we are damaging those peat stores in the cutting of peat bogs. And peat bogs are absolutely wonderful things. I did my research on peat bogs, and they are wonderful. Take it from me, if you've never looked at a peat bog, you should go out and look at one. And if you want me to show you a peat bog and get you to wow about a peat bog, you're welcome. Sorry. We can reduce or stop our consumption of meat, and thereby reducing carbon dioxide and methane emissions, and also benefit our health. Our actions, our practical actions and choices, can make a real difference. And by them, we witness to our faith in Christ, the Creator who died to reconcile all of creation to himself. And we also express our loving concern for our global neighbours and all of God's very good creation. May God guide us all in how to fulfil our restored vocation as image bearers of creation. And image bearers and stewards of creation. Amen. The song we're going to sing now, If the Fields Are Parched, really talks about what happens if we don't respond and how the world will react, how they'll think of our generation. It's a new hymn, one we haven't sung before, but the tune is very simple to pick up. So I think, will you play it through before we sing it, please?
Thank you.
As the last verse of that hymn says, Christ will return and the world will be renewed and made perfect again. But in the meantime, we have work to do as his stewards here in witness to him. And as we think about that, let's draw together in our prayers for the world. O Lord, we give thanks to you and praise you for the wonders of your creation. We give thanks for our harvests, for our ready availability, or for the ready availability of our basic food needs and so much more in this country. But Lord, as we come and we give you thanks, we ask for your mercy and forgiveness for our abuse of our planet, our greed and short-term plundering of the world's resources, and the impact on the diversity of life and our climate. Lord, we feel alarm at our rising temperatures and the more severe extreme weather events and the impacts on the poor. Lord, we are so concerned that global hunger is increasing again and that it is affecting so many millions of people around the world. Lord, have mercy on us. And Lord, we pray so much for the COP26 conference that's starting in November. We pray that you will convict all the world leaders and others who are there of the real urgency of action, that they can see that our way of life in the West is unsustainable and that we cannot go on plundering the Earth's resources as though nothing matters, only money. Forgive us for having given our vocation over to other powers and authorities that are running rampage through our earth and destroying it and causing so much misery and suffering. Lord, I pray that they will really commit, and not just commit, but come up with tangible actions to really avert temperatures rising above 1.5 degrees centigrade. And we pray that they will act with the same urgency that they acted to the banking crash and to the COVID emergency. We pray that we will put our resources into looking after this planet and looking after our poorest neighbours. Lord, we ask that you will do this. Lord, sometimes we feel as though there's not much chance, but Lord, if you act, we pray that we will see these changes being made. And help us as Christians, as your church throughout the world, to really continue to act as your stewards and put pressure and campaign for action. And pray that you will guide us in our own actions as well, what we can do in our own homes, and help us to look at the way we live as individuals and by the way we make changes, both individually and collectively. May we be a witness to you and the love that you have for the world. And Lord, as we pray for the climate change conference, we also pray for the COVID crisis, knowing that such pandemics are made more likely to happen as a result of what we're doing to the world. And we pray for the end of the COVID crisis. We pray for the vaccinations. We pray for all the sensible precautions and actions that we need to bring it under control. But Lord, as we are making progress in the West, may we not forget the poorest countries where there is so little vaccination going on. Help us to share our resources, both the vaccines and other medication, to help these communities. And Lord, may we really campaign and act for social justice. And Lord, we want to pray for our world. We pray for Iraq with a general election today. We pray for a new government that will ensure peace, stability, and equal rights for all citizens, including Christians and other minorities. And Lord, we also want to pray for Lebanon. We pray for the church in Minyara. We pray for that country which is broken, without real government. Even its power sources have gone off, as they cannot afford the fuel to run their power stations. We pray for the people in desperate situation, a once wealthy country now brought to its knees. And Lord, we see also the factionalism there. We pray for our friends in Minyara Church, for Hadi and all the congregation. Help us to know how to help them and support them, and may they, together with other churches, find your provision to actually help themselves and also their neighbours, and to somehow help to bring stability to that country. And we ask that you will have mercy on them, Lord. And Lord, we also pray for justice at home, for those in hardship as a result of the loss of the £20 uplift in the universal credit in the face of rising costs of living. Lord, we pray that you will be with them, and that, Lord, our government will rethink that and restore the money and the resources that they need to have a decent basic way of life. And Lord, we pray for those who are homeless. We pray that you will provide for them, and again, our government and our authorities will make sure that people are not homeless. We pray for those running food banks. We pray that the need for them will diminish as people are actually given the resources they need, either through work or support. Lord, help us to have a more equitable society. Lord, we bring all these things to you, and we praise you that you are the Redeemer, and that through Jesus, through his sacrifice, you reconcile all things on heaven and earth. And Lord, we do look forward to that time when you will come and renew the world, renew the heavens, and that you will dwell amongst us. But Lord, in the meantime, may we be your witness. May we share your love. May we share your justice. And Lord, may we give you glory, and we see more and more people coming to recognize you as the Creator and give themselves to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our last hymn now. Creation Sings the Father's Song.
I will sing verses 1 and 3, okay? Verses 1 and 3. Creation sings a father's song. Thank you.
God has given us a vocation to look after this planet, to do it out of love for him, out of worship for him, and to reflect creation's worship back to God. Lord, help us to know how to do this in everyday life. And Lord, we thank you that we come to you in hope and trust. And may we live our lives in hope and trust and in your guidance to make a difference to the communities around us. And may you bless us and keep us. And may we go in confidence that you are always with us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.